Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, San Diego County is increasing security after a deadly anti-Semitic attack overseas. We'll hear reflections from a local rabbi. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. At least 15 people were killed during a Hanukkah celebration in Australia when two gunmen opened fire yesterday. Among those killed in the attack was the nephew of Rabbi Emeritus Israel Goldstein, who was wounded along with two others in the Chabad of Poway attack back in 2019. One congregant was actually killed in that shooting. The terror of Australia's recent attack hits close to home, and I'm joined now by Rabbi Yeruhim Eilfort. He is the director of Chabad at La Costa and Coastal Chabads in Carlsbad. Rabbi Eilfort, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you here. You know, this is a very tragic time for the Jewish community in Australia and around the world. What were your initial reactions to the news of the shooting?
So I'm going to get very raw emotional responses, unvarnished, let's say. I woke up yesterday morning all excited. Hanukkah, you know, is a very joyous holiday for the Jewish people. And I will tell you, beyond just being joyous for the Jewish people, I view it as one of the more universal Jewish holidays, because it's symbolized by the menorah. We light the candles on the menorah, and we specifically do it publicly. We do it near our windows or doors, or like the celebration that was going on in Australia in a public gathering, to share light with the world, to try and bring the benefit of light, light representing goodness and godliness and warmth and energy to the whole world. And so when that's what your mindset is, and then you read about this attack, this terrible attack, it feels like you got punched in the gut. And that's what I felt like. And we immediately started trying to check on people that we know in that area, because it's a small world, and we all know each other, and we all know someone and somewhere. And for example, we found out that my wife's cousin was actually at the event. So it so happens, by the way, one of the rabbis who was murdered, Rabbi Schlanger, his brother is a colleague of mine who I'm friendly with. He's the Chabad rabbi in Bakersfield, you know, a few hours up the freeway. And I know him. He knows me. We've chatted many times, and he's a great, wonderful guy. And all I do is immediately my heart goes out for him. And I can picture myself being that Chabad rabbi and my family being shot at. And so it's very sobering. And right when you're in celebration mode, to have this happen, I have to tell you, is it's difficult. And it's hard. As a rabbi, maybe it's twice as hard, and I'll tell you why. I view it's my job to try and light those lights, and whether they are physical lights that I'm lighting or emotional and spiritual lights in my congregants, in my community, in my friends and family. So they turn to me for strength and inspiration in these difficult times. So I almost don't have time to mourn. I have to do my, put on my public face, my public persona. In fact, on my way, waiting actually for this call and this interview, one of my very dear friends, a great, great friend who's a very important part of my community and so on, called me up and he said, "Rabbi, I'm stuck after this shooting. I was supposed to have a celebration party last night for the holiday." And he says, "This has affected me so deeply. What do I do?" So I have to put aside my own mourning in a way, and try and bolster his spirits and pick him up and tell him. So I want to share with you, if it's okay, what I told him.
Please.
What I said is, Eilfort, speaking of myself. So I have different component parts to my personality, like most people I know. And one of those parts is stubbornness. I can be stubborn. And what I'm going to try and do is being very mindful of my brothers and sisters in Australia and the community there and what they're going through. But at the same time, I'm going to try and put on my stubbornness hat. I believe that this attack is attack, by the way, not only on that local community, not only on the Jewish people. I think it's an attack on Western civilization, the idea of trying to serve God, how we choose to serve God. I think they're trying to diminish our footprint in the world. And so therefore, my mind tells me, the stubborn part of myself, the spiteful part of me, I've got to soldier on. I've got to double down. I cannot allow the terrorists to win. I can't afford, we can't afford, Western civilization cannot afford to run and hide from these people. We can't go crawling under the rocks or putting an umbrella over our head or climbing under our beds and trembling in fear. I think that the proper response to darkness, which I think all reasonable people would agree this is darkness, is to add light. So I'm going to be thinking with my team, and we've already started discussions, how we can increase our Hanukkah observances, our public Hanukkah observances, and other things that we can do to bring more goodness and kindness, more light into the world. This is a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we were asleep at the wheel, by the way.
Right.
But we weren't.
Right.
And I'm sure you're going to ask me, and rightfully so, about security, which, believe me, every
Are
day
gonna,
I wake
well,
up.
Well, wait, let me ask you.
Because
before I get to that, you know, I want to go back to something that you said, because you mentioned that your wife had a cousin who was in Sydney at Bondi Beach during the attack. It's just a reminder that there are no degrees of separation here when these when hate happens here. So can you talk about that and what you know of her experience?
Yes, I will tell you that. And yeah, I take it very personally. We take it very, very personally. And so I will tell you what we know about her experience. She's a young mother. She was there at the lighting, which was a huge lighting with a large police presence, by the way, which is a different subject for a different day. And there with her infant, with her baby daughter, when they were going to be lighting the giant menorah, and the shots go off. She thought it was part of the show. She thought it was part of the production. Oh, there's fireworks. And then someone screams, get down and run, duck and run, duck and run. So she picks up her baby out of the stroller and just starts running as fast as she could in the direction where people seem to be running towards and away from the loud boom, boom. Thank God she got out safely. But she left behind her stroller, her phone, her car keys, her purse. Everything was left behind. So a kind person lent her her phone so she could call her husband, who then called his father to go pick her up. They made a meeting place. She was picked up. Many, many hours later, she was able to go back into the area to look for her stuff. So I think she's right now a little bit numb, you know, a little bit shaky, more for her daughter, the baby, than for herself. But this is a life-changing event. This will stay with her the rest of her life. These things leave a mark, and not only on her as an individual, but on the community and collectively on world Jewry and I believe our friends who aren't Jewish, but who shudder at this type of terrible evil that's in the world. So that's the personal side of the story.
Absolutely.
We have not spoken to her directly, but this is what through the family WhatsApp, and these days everyone's so well connected. So that's what's circulating right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that even though you haven't spoken to her directly, that you were able to at least indirectly find out what happened, and you know that she is all right. You know, in response to this attack, San Diego law enforcement has said it's going to ramp up its security measures during this time. Todd Gloria also reaffirmed his commitment to do this. How is this impacting Hanukkah celebrations at your synagogue in Carlsbad?
First of all, I also want to mention, God bless Mayor Gloria for being on top of this, being proactive. Really appreciate it. I also wanted to mention from the assessor's office, I happen to be personal friends with Jordan Marks, who's Jewish. He's actually a member of my congregation, but he reached out to me and he said, Rabbi, you know, what can we do? So he contacted the sheriff's department. And I know locally for us, you asked about Carlsbad. So the chief of police has been fantastic, reached out to us. What can we do? You know, I view them as the angel on our shoulders, always very responsive to us, supportive of us, just keeping their eye on us. And we really appreciate it. And now they're going to, you know, we're going to have enhanced. We always let the police department know. We stay in close communication with them because they've asked us to, and because we know it's good security sense to do such things.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what we're doing at any given time. So there's going to be enhanced police presence. We take security. The safety of my community is the number one thing I think about, the physical safety.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend every day thinking about our security measures, how to enhance them. And without going into detail into exactly what we do, I will tell you it's a very sophisticated plan and mm-hmm. and measures that we have in place all of the time.
Well,
times like this, when we're out publicly more, like we're going to be doing events in the public eye,
mm-hmm.
There's more, you'll see it. I mean, we'll have guards and we have our internal people and we'll have the police, thank goodness. So we're very sensitive to this. Here's an interesting balance we have to walk.
Mm-hmm.
We want the people to know and feel that they're safe, okay? And we know that that's a priority, as it should be. It's a priority for us, and it's a priority for them. We also don't want them feeling like that they're walking into a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I want them to feel like... This is supposed to be fun and uplifting, not like, like these days going through security at the airport can be a little bit unnerving, you know, take off your shoes, take off your belt, get rid of any liquids you have. So we're very sensitive to the security, and we're also very sensitive to the feelings of the community that A, they should be secure, but B, they should feel and understand. They're going into a happy, celebratory situation.
Right. Well, and earlier you spoke about shining light on darkness. So, you know, in the last 30 seconds we have here, how else do you encourage people to find support and strength during this time?
Wow. Boy, that's a beautiful question. Are you sure? 3 minutes? 50 30, minutes? 3 hours?
All right. 20
I'm
seconds.
Teasing.
No.
Okay. Connect with the community. That's number one. Being together uplifts all of us. It is really a powerful dynamic that you unleash just by joining with others who are caring, lovely, good people. That's number one. Number two is, or maybe I should say number one is realizing. You're asking a rabbi, so I'm giving you a rabbinic answer. There is a commander-in-chief in this world called God. God is good. Okay, focusing on God, remembering that God is with us, and focusing on that relationship is very, very helpful to find peace of mind and peacefulness internally, externally, and so on. And if we feel there's a lack of that in the world right now, so do something about it. Light the light. Don't just be cursing the darkness. That doesn't make darkness go away. You know what makes darkness go away is light. Light wins that argument every single time.
I've been speaking with Rabbi Yeruhim Eilfort, director of Chabad at La Costa and Coastal Chabads in Carlsbad. Rabbi Eilfort, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you reaching out to the Jewish community greatly. God bless you for that. Thank you so much.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.